Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Beautiful day out. Very excited about that. Joining us now by phone, we have Julio Diaz, the host of Let's Go Pensacola on Saturdays at 4, and also the host of the Pensacola Movie Club, founder of that. You can follow them on Facebook and then show up at a movie theater when they have events and watch and talk about the movies. It's a very, very cool thing that he does. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So the highlight title for today, I assume, would be Bad Boys, the next one, which I think is number 4, but unofficially, and we're calling it Ride or Die, I think. Is that right?
I believe that's the correct title. Yeah, Bad Boys 4 is what everybody's been
saying. Never too old to be an action star is how they ought to subtitle this one, right?
Well, I mean, you know, it's not like Martin Lawrence and Will Smith are as old as, like, say, Harrison Ford.
Who's They're not in the Expendables yet, I
Liam
suppose,
Liam Neeson,
yeah.
Who's still doing action movies.
That's true, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Sylvester Stallone, or, you know, I mean, so they're, you know, they're like the on the low end of middle-aged tier.
I gotcha.
Heroes, as opposed to the actual elderly action heroes that we have.
Like, and I mean,
like by definition, elderly, you know, I'm not
right.
trying to,
yeah,
that
like they got AARP cards and everything. Right. I got you.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
So is this a good movie? Is it like the other movies? If I like them, will I like this?
Does it matter?
You're probably right.
I mean, seriously, these movies are critic proof. Either you know what they are and you're excited, or you don't care. And it doesn't matter how good the review is. You're not going. Now, if you want to know what the critics are saying, it's running about 68% on Rotten Tomatoes, so the reviews are okay.
Yeah, all right.
You know, they're not great, they're not terrible, but you know, it's, you know, I kind of, for me, like, the original appeal of this franchise was that both of the leads were kind of playing against type. You know, they were playing characters that were the opposite of their off-screen persona.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah, I don't know that that's still the case over the years. As,
yeah.
You know, as these guys have evolved over the years, they kind of have kind of turned into
become their
the
characters
same guy a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
I can see that. All right.
I mean, I remember liking the first one, and the second one was okay, and then they waited like 20 years and made a third one, and I just didn't care anymore, and I kind of still feel that same way. But I think, like I said, the people that are excited about this are going to be excited about it. The twist here is that, you know, of course, these guys are cops. In this film, they've been framed for being involved in the activities of their dead boss, who was also framed for stuff that he didn't do.
Okay.
And so they're on the run and also trying to clear their names. So a little bit of a different story, but, you know.
In any case,
either you're excited or you're not.
In the big, dumb, fun category, you know, they've got that going for them. You also have...
Yeah, they've got at least the big and the dumb.
All right, Watchers is another one that's out this weekend?
Yeah, so this is a film about starring Dakota Fanning. She plays an artist who is finds herself in this big, empty Irish expanse of countryside, and she ends up taking shelter with these people only to find that they're being stalked and observed by these weird forces out there.
Cabin in the Woods?
Not exactly, but,
okay.
But you know, the premise kind of sounds like an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Okay.
And you're so close. You're so very, very close, because this is the first film written and directed by his daughter.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, and he's a producer on it.
Got it.
Unfortunately, unfortunately, a lot of later day M. Night Shyamalan movies, the reviews are not real great on this one. I mean, 26% of
That's below the threshold for us. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, he's got a new movie coming later this year that actually does sound interesting, about a serial killer who takes his daughter to a concert and finds out that it's actually been set up as a trap.
Huh.
It's called Trap.
That does sound interesting.
To catch him. And one of our PensaCon guests for next year, Haley Mills, is actually going to be in.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah. So hopefully that'll be better.
School of Magical Animals 2, the sequel to the movie that you probably didn't hear of the first one?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly had not heard of the first one, so I did not know there was a School of Magical Animals 1, but yes, there actually was. These are German films, and the first one was dubbed into English. I'm not clear whether this one is being dubbed into English or not, or whether it's subtitled. So.
Okay. So, you know, in any case, not affiliated with Hogwarts in any way, right?
No. They're not affiliated with the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. So your mileage may vary depending on how you feel about J.K. Rowling these days. Some people do not like her very much anymore. Some people still love her, whatever. But these are very much, you know, Harry Potter knockoff movies.
Okay.
And
they're not
screened for critics. First one did not really get good reviews. So, you know what you're getting into here. If you're looking for family films, there's a couple others in the marketplace. If it's pretty great. And a lot of people seem to really like the Garfield movie, even though the reviews aren't
good. All right. So this is like Harry Potter from Wish.com. Okay, fair enough. I got
gotcha. Right, right.
And then what are you guys going to watch next week?
Harry Potter.
What are you guys going to watch next week?
Well, speaking of family films, looking forward to Inside Out 2 is going to be out next week. Pixar film, sequel to one of the best Pixar films. So hopefully it's... holds that standard high. So we're looking forward to that.
Very good. Julio Diaz, he hosts the Let's Go Pensacola 4 o'clock on Saturdays and also the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook. As always, Julio, thanks for the movie wrap-up, the insight, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks so much. Coming up next, we have the Transgressive Memorial Service, or what some of you know as the Woe Unto All Who Offend segment. John Pickens has got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Taking a look at traffic, I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly. No accidents to report right now. That's a look at your traffic. I'm John Pickens with Traffic on the Five.
Pensacola State College has fantastic programs, especially for, like, for example, our kids. Two of our kids went through dual enrollment with them, so homeschooled in high school, and then we're taking college classes, getting high school credit for free and college credit for free, even for books, all covered, and went to college, went to university basically as, you know, 1.5 year sophomores with the kind of credit they got over the 3 years that they took at PSC. Individualized instruction, teaching instructors, you know, as opposed to research instructors who also have to teach, and a wide variety of class times and schedules so that you can really make it work around whatever you're doing, especially if you're a non-traditional student, you know, working a job and trying to start a second career or something like that. Campuses in Pensacola, Warrington, Milton, Century, South Santa Rosa Center, downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. PSC is a fantastic resource where they can help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu.
Like sports, music, computers, or animals?
So do children who are awaiting adoption.
Families First Network is the connection between children who wait in foster care and families who adopt.
As the trusted partner for adoptions in Northwest Florida, Families First Network connects adoptive families with training and support throughout the entire process.
Begin your journey by signing up for a free Zoom information session at familiesfirstnetwork.org.
That's familiesfirstnetwork.org.
Why do you love your favorite pair of jeans? What keeps you connected to your oldest friends? How do you know that the solution you seek is right for you? The answer is simple. It's the fit. And at Pinair Credit Union, we believe your finances should fit you perfectly. It's the right checking account for how you spend your time and money. It's the right loan for where you are and where you're headed next. It's local banking that's as comfortable as your favorite pair of jeans. Join us at Pinair.org. You'll fit right in. Pinair Credit Union is insured by NCUA Equal Opportunity Lender.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy the past few years. How to know when to buy or sell? You'll need an expert to help. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning at 9 and hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with the Levin Rinke Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's this morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Rob Schneider, a comedian most famous for his leading roles in The Animal, The Hot Chick, and Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo. Asked to perform this week at a charity fundraiser for the Hospitals of Regina Foundation in Canada, Mr. Schneider had to be removed from the stage mid-performance because he persisted in telling jokes that offended the sensibilities of the host organization and their members. Specifically, he had the gall to make jokes about the COVID-19 pandemic, vaccination policies, sexual minorities, and our dear transgender othering. Even though the sold-out event raised over $350,000 for the charitable foundation, the hospital organization immediately distanced itself from Schneider's offensive content and issued a press release following the debacle, saying, "While we recognize that in a free and democratic society, individuals are entitled to their views and opinions, and that comedy is intended to be edgy, the content, positions, and opinions expressed during Mr. Schneider's set do not align with the values of our foundation and team. A decision was therefore made to ask Mr. Schneider to end his performance earlier than intended, to which he agreed and immediately left the stage. An unconditional apology was offered right after to our guests and our community. We reiterate this sincere and unconditional apology today for any offense caused." What a touching and profound denouncement of Schneider's inappropriate comedic performance. Now, I know that some commentators have asked how this could have possibly come as a surprise to the hospital organizers, since Rob Schneider has not been shy about his views and he is well known for saying offensive things. But to this we say, what a brilliant move. Invite someone to an event under the guise of performing comedy. Wait for him to fall into the trap of saying offensive things and then rip the microphone out of his hand and publicly apologize for his indecency. But the HRF has now actually gone the extra mile. All references to Schneider and the event have been completely scrubbed from the foundation's website. It's as if it never happened at all. This charade of faux outrage and revisionism is the sort of thing that Winston Smith could only dream about in George Orwell's classic instruction manual, 1984. Baiting a heretic into openly espousing his sins, humiliating him publicly for his transgression, and then purging all records of his very existence at the event? Bravo, Canada. Bravo. We Americans can only stand back and watch in awe at how efficient you have become at restricting the liberty and expression of the unrepentant. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, again. This time for his signature on HB 1203, a bill that dramatically reduces the power of homeowners associations to regulate the behavior of their residents. This new law stops HOAs from doing some very important work. HOAs can no longer tell you how to decorate the interior of a home if you can't see that decor from the street. HOAs can't prohibit vegetable gardens or air conditioning units in the backyard anymore. HOAs can't forbid residents parking their cars in their own driveways anymore. HOAs can't even penalize residents for having garbage cans out within 24 hours of scheduled pickups. And perhaps most horrifyingly, HOAs can no longer issue fines for residents who leave holiday decorations up for too long. All of this, of course, leads us to ask, well, then what are HOAs even able to do now? As all of you who have completed your Level 3 coursework on advanced studies and preparing the modern American for more effective thought control know, the invention of the Homeowners Association was actually one of our order's greatest accomplishments. At the 42nd Annual Conclave on Global Sheepification held in 1963 at the Mephistopheles Institute in East Timor, our order first proposed the creation of a paragovernmental regulatory concept that would serve to control people's lives in minor, inconvenient, and capricious ways so that they would become more amenable in general to intrusive regulation by actual governments. From this conclave was born the original idea of the HOA, a perfect vehicle for training covenant-restricted community residents that the will of the individual must always be subordinated to the will of the commune, or community, and embedding the idea of not offending your neighbors in the root-level consciousness of the average American suburban psyche. Dear brethren, sistren, and otherin, for over 60 years, your order has successfully transformed the American social landscape with HOAs and their arbitrary enforcement of obscure rules through fear, threats, intimidation, and fines. Obviously, this is such a wonderful framework from which to grow the necessary social virtue of unquestioning submission to authority that our religion prioritizes. As we like to chant, "He who obeys the HOA will always do what other men say." And to see the reprehensible governor of the free state of Florida take any steps to interfere with these intrusions on private property and liberty by HOAs is really a step back toward a country in which people control their own lives? For shame, Governor DeSantis. For shame. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, our strongest congratulations for the forward-leaning thought leaders at the Naval Special Warfare Command, the home of the Navy SEALs. As you all know, we're now smack in the middle of our favorite month of the year, June, which of course celebrates the righteous and pure pride of the entire holy acronym string in all its shifting forms and flavors. Well, to kick off Pride Month, the social media for the SEALs posted a simple, elegant, and utterly inclusive rainbow-themed picture with the words NSW, for Naval Special Warfare, Dignity, Service, Respect, Equality, Pride, beneath the official logo of the SEALs Command. What a profound expression of solidarity with the rest of the military community that sex and sexual love in any form at any time you find it is utterly compatible with the military mission, period. Now, some of the heathen who hang on to their repressive traditional sex ethics have expressed outrage that the SEALs, perhaps the last obscure bastion, the last secure bastion of traditional masculinity, would so publicly convert to the way of the rainbow warrior. But are we to believe that any military unit is better off without a culture of open and loving sexuality? Of course not. Yes, even though NSW and NSFW are different acronyms, we see now how they can really represent the same thing. But there's a deeper meaning here, which we also want to celebrate. At one time, the U.S. military was a haven for people who believed in repressive traditional values like God, country, and the existence of just two genders. This, of course, facilitated recruiting from the vast pool of religiously conservative young men who were eager to serve their country. We have gradually been doing, of course, is make the military a place of such hostility to those values that the older service members who hold them leave voluntarily, and so that the young people who hold them have no interest in enlisting. Could there be any more profound statement by the Pentagon that there really is no place left in the American military for people who cleave to their antiquated views of morality and religion than bringing the pride rainbow to the SEAL teams? As the new slogan of the NSW proclaims, make love, not special warfare. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
If you are a first-time visitor, please fill out the mandatory paperwork found in your announcement pamphlet. We no longer call them bulletins for obvious reasons. Under the portions requesting evidence of your virtue, just put your social media accounts and an estimate of how much money you gave to Greenpeace, the Sierra Club, and the National Organization for Women last year. Also, be sure to join us after the service in Peopleship Hall for some casual conversation about generally insignificant topics. Trust us, it's a very safe space. Refreshments this week are provided by Once Bitten, Twice Dry, the all-natural flavor-enhancing powder made from the dehydrated blood of vampire bats. Long revered by the Apumoni peoples of southwestern Guatemala for its restorative powers and as a homeopathic remedy for everything from premature hair loss to canine incontinence, try Once Bitten, Twice Dry, a seasoning whose taste, the virtue of which you just won't believe.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
8:27 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay, and I'd like to get, you know, my own serving of once bitten, twice dry, you know, at least twice a day. You know, that's the recommended amount. John has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call us today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No accidents on the big board. Seeing I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly right now. That's a look at your traffic on the fives. I'm John Pickens.
Thanks so much, John. The senior chillout is going on today, Friday, June 7th. That is today at area Lowe's stores, Fairfield Airport, 9 Mile, Highway 98 and Gulf Breeze, Highway 90 and Pace. You can come by and donate money to the Council on Aging, or the purpose of this is for you to donate or buy and donate air conditioning units and fans for the elderly for the summer when it's hot so that they can really, you know, not be at risk health-wise. It's a very, very important event every single year we do this, and that is today at all your area Lowe's stores until 6 o'clock tonight. 8:28, News Radio Pensacola. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Seven suspects are in custody after deputies in Texas busted a human smuggling operation. Deputies say 26 illegal immigrants were found on a piece of property by San Antonio. Bexar County Sheriff Javier Salazar says they were kept in a shack with no water or AC. Apparently, 11 of them had to be taken to the hospital with heat injuries. The FDA has reversed its ban on Juul e-cigarettes. Yesterday, the FDA said they were reviewing new court decisions and updated information from the company. The FDA had halted the product in 2022, but it stayed on store shelves pending an appeal. And the final episode of a very popular TV show hosted by a very popular TV host.
Wheel
of
fortune.
You called it. That's right. The final episode of Wheel of Fortune, hosted by Pat Sajak, airs today. He's hosted the show since 1981. Of course, he announced last year he'd be retiring. This episode was filmed in April. It's truly the end of an era.
Can I ruin the show for everybody like we did earlier?
Well, absolutely.
I was recording it on my DVR, and Dish Network describes Wheel of Fortune thus. In a classic game show version of Hangman, contestants solve word puzzles for cash and prizes, which clearly Wheel of Fortune is Hangman, without the piece-by-piece hanged execution victim. Have you ever thought about this game for children? That we draw pieces of a person in the process of getting to the end victory point of hanging them? Or getting the letters right first?
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. It's a strongly monthly jobs report that most economists expected. 272,000 jobs created.
This report led by healthcare, government jobs, professional scientific and technical services. Average hourly earnings, we came in at 0.4%. And then year over year, 4.1%, which is a little bit hotter than expected.
Cheryl Cassoni with Fox Business. Testimony resumes this morning at the president's son Hunter Biden's trial in Delaware, where he's accused of lying about illegal drug use on a federal form to buy a gun.
The prosecution has two witnesses left before they're expected to conclude their case. Then it's up to the defense to present any of their witnesses. One name being floated here is James Biden, Hunter's uncle, who assisted him through his rehab stints.
That's Fox's Brooks Singman. President Biden tells ABC News he would not consider pardoning his son if convicted. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, it's 8:31 at News Radio, Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now it's sunny and 80 degrees. A Santa Rosa County Circuit Court judge is setting the first hearing date for the legal battle between Milton City Attorney Alex Andrade and Mayor Heather Lindsay. According to the News Journal, Judge Scott Duncan set a date of June 13th to hear arguments on a motion to subpoena Lindsay's phone records from AT&T. Last month, the Milton City Council authorized Andrade to file the lawsuit. He alleges that Lindsay has refused to fully comply with public records requests. Andrade says all of the documents that he's been requesting center on discussions Lindsay had during the contentious hiring of former city manager Scott Collins. There's a new program in conjunction between the city of Pensacola and Habitat for Humanity and the Northwest Florida Home Builders Association. It's the Attainable Infill Housing Program. What they do is identify lots in the city of Pensacola that can be developed into affordable housing.
We're going to ensure that the right people, the income qualified people, find their way into that home. And then, as importantly, when that home were to sell or transfer, it will continue to serve those families that are income qualified and who might otherwise be locked out of the market.
And that is Habitat President and CEO Sam Young, who tells Channel 3 that they create the community land trust. The HBA then builds the home and the city qualifies the buyers. Three lots in the city so far have been identified to be a part of that program. Well, yesterday was the first Revive Awareness Day under a new law signed by the governor. The day shines a light on the dangers of opioid overdoses and the power of medicine naloxone or Narcan to save lives.
Blue or purple fingernails and lips, pinpoint sized pupils, pale clammy skin, slow irregular heartbeat and breathing, unresponsive to voice and touch.
That is Attorney General Ashley Moody. She says Narcan is now free for first responders all across the state, and also it's available at drug stores. You can purchase the medication to have on hand in case you have a family or a family member or friend that may need it. The Starliner spacecraft is now safely docked at the International Space Station. They docked yesterday around 12:35 p.m. This comes after the Starliner craft missed its first docking window earlier that day. There were some issues with the thrusters, and also helium leaks were detected once the spacecraft made it into orbit. Firefighters were called to a jet ski fire on the Santa Rosa Sound yesterday. That happened off the shore of Soundside Drive. The caller reported the jet ski caught fire about 300 feet out. Luckily, the rider was not hurt in that fire. Firefighters were able to tow it to shore where they extinguished the flames. FWC assisted with that investigation. And a recent Tate High grad headed towards the National Rodeo Championship. After winning the Alabama High School Rodeo last weekend, Lexi Nelson won the barrel racing title with her horse MJ. She's been competing for about 3 years now. She'll go on to that National Rodeo Championship in Rock Springs, Wyoming, and that'll happen in July. It's 8:35 at News Radio Pensacola. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right, brought to you by Discover. Discover wants everyone to feel special with live 24/7 customer service. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcards. I-10, I-110, all flowing smoothly, even Highway 90. Seeing a minor delay there as you go through that construction zone on the bridge. I'm John Pickens with the traffic on the fives.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 92 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 72. Nice sunny skies continue for Saturday with a high near 90 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Rounding out the weekend with sunshine and a high near 92 and a low near 75. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 80 in Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, 79 in Milton. Our next news at 9. And breaking news anytime, I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola. Oh, it is 8:36 at News Radio Pensacola. Taking a look at your money now. Our markets today are down. The Dow is down 105 points at 38,781. The S&P is down 17 points at 53.36. The NASDAQ down 51.73. Your next news at 9. Breaking news anytime. News Radio Pensacola.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Everybody jump, 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 jump. I said a hip, hop, the hibbit of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle
up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Yes, it's the wrap. It's when we have a couple of friends here in studio with me, and we just kind of talk over the news of the week. In fact, we were just talking off the air about what things we find interesting, and there's been so much, and also in some ways so little, because it's always a project to figure out what we're going to talk about on the wrap. Craig Heinzman is with me. He is the community outreach pastor at Marcus Point Baptist Church. Craig, welcome back.
Woo! What's up, man? How you doing?
And Ron Helms, who is, I think this is his first time doing the rap. He has been on in studio before a long time ago when Drew Buchanan filled in for me as a host. He was here, but he is a candidate for the District 4 Commission seat, the only Democrat running in the race against, three Republicans. I always want to include Jared, but Jared has not filed because he'd have to resign to run, so he's not officially in that list. Ron, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
You bet. We've known each other for years, but I don't think I've ever had you on the show.
That's right.
Okay, sorry.
No worries. We'll meet again.
I would describe us as people who get along and can talk, but probably don't agree about a whole lot, which is okay. I don't mind that.
Fine with
doesn't
me.
Bother, yeah, no, it doesn't bother me at all. Well, since you're kind of, you know, running, we've had all the other candidates on for county commission. Let's start just a little bit there. You were at the meeting last night. OLF 8 was a continued punt, right? No decisions?
Oh, yeah, no decision at all. I don't think they're too excited about the new offer.
Oh, okay. But they are, well,
that one's out of,
the,
is it Tampa?
$36
that
million,
one, is that one out of?
The $36 million one?
Yeah.
The $36 million man offer? Okay. I have to follow this for my job. I do care deeply. Even I get tired of all of the just back and forth and the nothing's good enough and we're not taking the money and the, you know.
They which thing to punt.
Which
love
thing do I
punt.
Object to now about, you know, we were engaged with these folks for 6 months and now we're not going to work with them anymore. And just like, this is how you get a tech park. This is how you get a community maritime park with only a couple of parcels developed is, you know, when the government runs development, it's not great.
Right. And
sometimes, often.
Was it for the lack of great, you sacrifice good? And that's what's going on here. It's like, oh, we want the perfect thing. Well, we could get an excellent thing that's not exactly perfect.
Right.
But we do have to pull a trigger at some point in time. And it does seem like we're just peddling feet right now, trying to figure out how to make this happen.
I did think it was interesting. There is this project for 25 acres that a commercial group, we don't know anything about, it's under the code signs right now, that they want at the very back side of OLF 8, and they want to buy it and establish an operation there off Frank Reeder Road. And they were talking about this a little bit during the agenda review yesterday. And Stephen Berry, I thought, made a very telling comment. He said, well, it would be nice to get something so that we can show people that we're actually willing to make a deal if the right deal comes along. And I thought, boy, brother, that's you ain't kidding.
That's right. Oh, no, yeah.
No rush.
What's that?
No rush for a decision.
Right. And I get that we don't want to make the wrong one, but you know, the what is it, the as you kind of pointed out, Craig, the good becomes the enemy of the best or whatever. Yeah. So you never get anything. Yeah. This is just, in my mind, this is one of the cool little stories about how things sometimes, apart from government, can work really fast and really well. In Milton, we have the USA team trials and the world championships this weekend and next week for inline speed skating at Weber's Skate World, where he built this world-class skate track last year.
I did not know that it was there. I knew that there was speed skating in Milton. I don't know. I was probably one of the very few people that knew that, because one of our church members is a speed skater, and that's how I found out about it. I was like, we have speed skating in Milton?
Exactly.
Apparently we do. I didn't even know speed skating was a thing, but there it is. And it's, that's so cool. I didn't really realize we're having the world, you know, championships.
Well, not the world, but the USA, but still, and the world will come here. We will have the world championships here at some point.
That's
just
huge.
Not this year.
Tremendous.
Yeah. I think next year it's in Italy, if I'm not mistaken, because the people who are practice or are competing this weekend might qualify for the Team USA. People are moving their operations here to train at this location that he just built last year because he wanted to, because he was big on this and thought this is a good thing. And it's a world-class facility, like the one-of-its-kind kind of place in the whole world.
So this year, you know, this year Italy, and next year Milton.
Maybe. Yeah. That's just, likely.
That just, I, does that not I seem know. Like such
a... It's not a word. It's not a
hey
sentence.
Guys, how you doing?
That's not a sentence you hear a lot, but yes, that's exactly right.
I now have to go out and find this place.
It's
I don't skate, FYI. I'm not a skater.
You're too tall.
Well, yeah. Do you balance well on skates, Ron?
I did quite a few years ago. I may have to try again.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it looks amazing. I've been out there. It's fantastic. On slightly lighter topics, but still, I think, pretty significant. Now, Ron, you're a little bit older, okay?
A tad.
Than I am. Not by that much, but a little bit older. Did you know Wheel of Fortune when it wasn't Pat Sajak? Because tonight is his last episode.
I didn't know.
No, there was. I didn't realize there was a time when there wasn't a
I
Pat
thought
Sajak.
He was in.
I think, didn't they initiate with him? Was it
I
always
think so.
Him?
I think it was always Pat Sajak.
But for me, it's not just that it's always been him, but there's always been Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
Wheel of Fortune was the constant in my life, even if I didn't pay attention to it.
Absolutely.
There was
all
kind of like Jeopardy, you know?
And yeah. Right, right.
Of course, when Alec passed away, massive change, and Jeopardy's still not what it was, of course.
No,
it can't
absolutely
be.
I used to watch Jeopardy all the time, and I was like, eh. Now I just pass by. I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
Because it's just not the same.
I think I even stopped recording it. I had set my recorder for it, and I still have a lot of the Pat Sajak, not Pat, but the Alec Trebek episodes that I haven't watched, but I want to. It's like saved for, you know, for fun for later. But I stopped watching it. But Wheel has always been there, and now it's just, I don't know if they're going to continue with it or try to do it without him. It's hard to imagine without either of them, right?
Well, it's just him stepping away, right? Van is still there.
The news guy doesn't know.
Neither one of those people have aged. It's so crazy.
On the
outside. On the inside, but on, yeah.
There may be some difference between the birth certificate and the show age.
She's not actually turning the letters anymore.
She touches them now, right?
I think she's going to take over.
Is she?
I hope so.
Actually, that would be really cool.
Yeah.
I think that'd be actually good.
Why not? Sometimes you find out the job's different than what you thought it was, but certainly she'd be in the best position to know it and be able to do it. I mean, why not?
Oh, yes.
Speaking of things that are going away that cause a little bit of angst, pain, suffering, regret, Red Lobster. Red Lobster is bankrupt and reorganizing, and they have divided up their stores, as far as I can tell, into ones that are definitely closing or have already closed, ones that are staying open, fingers crossed, assuming we can make that work, and ones that are somewhere in the middle that are scheduled to close because the lease is too high for the revenue that that store generates, and therefore we're going to close these ones unless we can renegotiate the lease and get a more favorable deal, which would include Ninth Avenue in Pensacola.
Oh, okay. So that is on the
it's not a done thing, but it's going to happen unless something comes to save it. Red Lobster going away, I discovered I suddenly cared about yesterday. When was the last time you ate at a Red Lobster, Ron?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
A long while.
That's probably part of the problem.
Yeah, years. But it's always busy when I drive by on a Friday night. But I don't.
It's weird. I mean, Red Lobster, it's kind of weird in Pensacola.
It is in Pensacola. That's what I was thinking the
there's
same
some
thing.
Other. We have some other chain restaurants that it's kind of weird in Pensacola. I mean, it's not that they're bad. It's just that.
Right. We could go to, we can go downtown
fish house,
to the fish and house
hole,
or,
Atlas. Yeah. I mean, there's lots and lots and lots of alternatives, right?
Right.
For great seafood.
Joe Patty's.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, my question though is.
But you can't get cheddar biscuits here.
Well, see, that's the point. I discovered yesterday that a food I had not eaten in probably 20 or 30 years, I cannot remember the last time I've been to a Red Lobster. But all of a sudden, I'm like, man, I got to go get me some cheddar biscuits before I can't get them anymore. Now, obviously, I wasn't all that motivated until yesterday, and I'm still today thinking to myself, do I really care that much? But there is a part of me that's like, get them before they're gone. Am I wrong?
Oh, absolutely not. Because I had heard Red Lobster's closing, but I didn't know that ours was on the block, and now I'm going,
Because you don't want to find yourself.
And we're cutting away gluten in our house because my wife's got some gluten sensitivity, so we're trying to cut it away.
You.
But we're like, cheddar biscuits. We may have to just,
And I guess I don't want to find myself in 2030 thinking, man, before they left, I could have.
You have them in the freezer, you take them home in the doggy bag, you put them in a Ziploc bag, and you take one out every.
You joke, but so my mother-in-law moved from St. Louis to Jacksonville recently, last year. And last purchase I made out of Alton coming here, out of St. Louis coming here, was I got like a 20-pack of White Castles because I knew I wasn't likely to see White Castle again for a while. I still have three in my freezer, and I'm scared to eat them because they're the last ones I got.
Can't you get White Castles like in the...
It's not the same.
Okay, I don't know.
I miss White Castle badly.
You what?
I miss White Castle.
They're so good.
Yeah.
Are you a Red Lobster? Are you going to go get biscuits? Do you care?
Now that I think I will.
I hope they keep... I've never made the mix at home, but I assume it's terrible by comparison.
It's not as good. We've made the mix, but...
You've tried it? David's in the newsroom. David, you've tried it?
No, the mix is great.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was...
As good
as? To tell the difference.
80%? What?
Oh, easily. Maybe better. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
But they also have frozen ones now. I just found it where you stick it in the air fryer.
Yeah.
Or the oven.
That might be better.
Those are real good.
Okay. Probably better.
Maybe I don't need to help prop up this dying industry anymore.
But we're getting some. I notice we're getting more like out of market northern stores.
Everybody
Wawa's
wants to
coming
invest,
down here
right,
now. You've
right?
got so maybe Chipotle's
maybe
White
here
Castle.
Several locations.
Maybe White Castle's next.
There's one in Orlando. I think it's the only one that we've got. Yeah. We're late to traffic. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives. John.
That's right. Just seeing one accident right now that just popped on the big board. North Palafox Street. No roadblock with that, but there is a vehicle crash causing some delays. Also, Highway 90 through the construction zone, you're also experiencing delays there. I'm John Pickens with the traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Do you care much about the Hunter Biden trial, either of you guys?
Nope.
Not really? I mean.
Excellent commentary.
It's just, yeah. Ugh.
Okay,
the
so
whole thing,
can
just,
give me my thought about this. I feel like. The people who are really into this case with Hunter Biden, what it is for them is the pent-up frustration of not being able to get what they think is justice on him for the Ukrainian stuff or the laptop story that got suppressed or Biden hatred in general. It's a proxy for all of that, and it's like, finally, something with a Hunter. Am I wrong?
I wouldn't say that you're wrong on that at
on
all.
On its
but
face... Who cares?
Yeah.
It's a guy who bought a gun and lied about his drug use, and yeah, he's a drug addict and whatever. But I mean, if it weren't the president's son, this would not even be news.
Well, I think that
this would be another Thursday in Poughkeepsie, right?
Tagged with the New York trial of Trump. I mean, that's where you go. Well, if you're going to go after us for this something so stupid that honestly multiple people didn't want to bring, we're going to finally bring it, and I'm not going to say, you know, rig it, but we're certainly going to slant it towards a conviction. Now, all of a sudden, we're like, okay, well
then we see justice on the other side.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it. You know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Okay, well, that's not how that should work, but.
It's not how it should work, and, I mean, you know, the comparison between the two, Trump is the former president and an actual likely will be president again, regardless. Hunter Biden is, he just happens to be related to somebody.
He's an epic screw-up.
It should just be a private matter. I mean, we'll be interested in the verdict, definitely, but who's Hunter Biden?
Right, yeah. I mean, if it were related to some other kinds of things, international things or politics or something, but if it's just... Guy used drugs, dated his dead husband's
widow. Was weird. Now, that's one thing I did learn out of this, and I was like, okay, now wait a second. Hold on.
I mean,
so he dated his widow. His brother's widow?
She threw the gun away, right?
She did. She was the one who threw the gun away. Yeah.
Discovered he was, I mean, so it's a lurid story.
It definitely has some tabloid, you know, exposure, but does it have any substantial political?
How does that change my life?
Thank you. Thank you.
Does this bring me closer to my fellow man? Does this bring me closer to Jesus? I mean, it's, you know, none of the above, right? Does this make my marriage better? None of the above, right? All right, so switching gears a little bit. Very, to me, very interesting story. We talked about this today. The kind of story that I think has not gotten very much attention. It's a little complicated, so I'm going to explain it. Florida's death penalty statute sentencing has been in and out of the courts and the news for as long as I've been a resident here, okay? The Hearst murder at the Popeyes on 9 Mile is the reason that Pensacola has been in all of these stories, because that case, back when we had a certain protocol for the death penalty, went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court says, you can't do it that way. And we got a new protocol which required unanimous jury agreement on the aggravating factor, a unanimous jury agreement that the aggravators outweigh the mitigators. You know, the judge can't escalate to death penalty from life, and, you know, unanimous jury verdict. Okay. And then, you know, there was some tinkering. Okay. And then Nicholas Cruz got acquitted from Parkland because of the unanimity requirements. And then we revised the law again to where now, what is it? I think it's 8-4 now. You have to have 8 who say yes. And there's still some of the particulars in. But now you've got a case. There's a guy who was a part of a threesome involved in a murder. One of the people involved has gotten life. One of the people involved is getting the death penalty. I forget. And he's getting the death penalty. But if he had been tried earlier, his trial was delayed by a hurricane, he would have fallen under the old protocol that had to have a unanimous verdict, and he's convicted on an 8-4. So he's getting executed because his trial date fell on the wrong side of a calendar demarcation. Mm. This is absolutely going back to the Supreme Court, right? I mean, you can't have people being executed on the basis of when their court date is, right?
Right. I agree.
I think it's, yeah. But then somebody's going to get convicted on either side of that calendar either way.
Right.
You know, that's what my thinking is. How does the Supreme Court rule on that? Because
it is clearly unusual punishment. It's cruel and unusual punishment because of the wide variety of the protocols. And we're trying to get our stuff together, and it's a hot mess.
Perfect for an appeal.
Yeah.
It is good grounds for appeal. He'll probably get that. We have to figure this stuff out, obviously, because
we do.
We're in a situation where we're just spinning wheels, and it's hard enough. That Popeyes murder, I remember that. I remember because I lived down the street from it, and I mean, that was absolutely just an insane.
It's a horrific.
It was a horrific event, and you think to yourselves, our justice system has to have the checks and balances that make it so that a person who is innocent does not get, you know, wrongly convicted. We do know that happens. We understand that happens. So we have to have those checks and balances, but those checks and balances can't be so vast that we can't actually administer punishment. That's where we have some problems.
If we can't execute him, then who can you? And Nicholas Cruz, same thing.
Correct.
The difference is we were trying to execute him, and then because of the new rules, we couldn't execute Nicholas Cruz, and here we are trying to figure this out. And you're right, by the way. Somebody who committed a crime now, they happen to fall on a different side of the date. So that's, you know, the way things are, which, of course, is going to happen when you change rules. But it just... Like I said, I've been following the death penalty statute in Florida and our use of the protocols ever since I've lived here for 10 years, and I can't believe that it is still so confusing. So, I don't know, Ron, you Thoughts?
No thoughts.
Okay.
Except it's right for an appeal.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
And we have to go with what the law is now, I think.
437-1620. Feel free to weigh in or text me about any of your thoughts or questions. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Taking a last look at traffic right now. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly, not seeing any delays to hamper your way in. I'm John Pickens. That's a look at your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. What else do we have going on? So I didn't get a chance to talk about this one today, but it is, to me, it's fascinating. In the realm of Supreme Court things, so I think about 3 months ago, I learned, and I didn't know this, that trials are... All right, let's do a pop quiz. See how much you know.
Okay, let's go.
Ready, Ron? If you...
I object.
Fair enough. Okay, in a capital murder trial, how many jurors in the state of Florida?
12.
12?
It is 12. In a non-capital trial of any crime whatsoever, how many jurors in the state of Florida?
8?
15?
6.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm harder on crime than you are.
But when you watch TV, it's always 12 for everything. So
it's like 12 for you. 12 angry men.
Florida is one of these states where there's only a couple of them that have 6 jurors on most every trial other than capital cases.
That's amazingly small.
You know, I'm actually really glad you mentioned jury because I have jury duty on Monday and I completely forgot. So that...
I am serving the public interest. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's where this gets interesting. Somebody has been... I forgot the fact of the case, but they've been... I think they've been convicted, on a 6-person jury. And they're appealing that conviction to the Supreme Court. Their argument is a jury is supposed to have 12. And a jury is supposed to have 12 because it was always 12 historically. 6 is a denial of due process because it's not enough jurors. Now, historically, they've said that 6 is fine. Okay, Florida is legal.
Right.
But they're raising objections such as when you have a jury of 6, then you can exclude black people more easily and you can create a less heterogeneous, a less mixed pool. Okay, of jurors, that 6 offers more possibility for bias in the jury. You know, it only takes 1 to stop 12, but maybe that 1 gets excluded from the 6 or doesn't show up for the 6. So the argument is that you're entitled by the Constitution to 12. Supreme Court says they're not going to hear the case, which happens all the time.
Cases aren't ripe,
it's not the right time, whatever. There's all kinds of reasons why cases don't get heard. Neil Gorsuch writes a dissent, which is rare, dissenting from the decision to hear the case, to not hear the case. And he says, we should absolutely hear this case. This is a denial of justice. The founding fathers never intended for you to have a 6-person jury. Thoughts?
Ron, I'll take you first.
I've stumped the room.
I'd want a larger jury.
I think so, too.
I mean, I do think it's...
If you're a defendant,
anything,
I mean, you want it to... You want
it. Ron's like, I didn't do anything, but if I hit the end, I would want one.
Well,
yeah,
look,
no, you're right.
The chance of getting, 16% of the jury pool versus getting, 8% of the jury pool in order to get a hung jury.
Yeah, I definitely think that 6 is problematic. I think at that point in time, it's easier to get to a decision, obviously, and it requires less people to make that happen in terms of having to go through jury selection and all this other
right.
stuff. But I can definitely see where his case stands and say, yeah, there is probably some inherent bias in that.
I mean, if it was a jury of 6, 12 angry men would have been over in 5 minutes. Peter Fonda might not have been on the jury trial, on the jury, right?
But he might have been on the jury.
Well, he might.
So that's the thing. Now you're talking about,
hypotheticals
that could have happened. It could have been all Henry Fonda's and then.
It could have been.
So.
Was it Henry? I thought it was Peter. I could be wrong.
Peter?
Actually, yeah. It doesn't matter.
It was a Fonda.
It was black and white.
It wasn't Jane.
Black and white
we know that much.
Anymore.
It wasn't Jane.
Nice. Well done.
You're welcome.
All right. You guys watching the NBA Finals at all?
No, I am not watching the NBA Finals. I recorded
it last night, but of course the news always ruins these results for me. So I haven't watched an NBA. I realized we were talking about NBA players the other day, and I haven't watched an NBA game in a while.
Yeah. Yay sports.
And the only WNBA I see is the highlights on how Caitlin Clark gets pushed around.
She's getting hit a lot.
Yeah,
she's getting hit a lot. I'm not going to lie.
They're Ron Helms, Craig Heinzman, thanks.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.